Well, both of today's scripture readings and as well as this upcoming sermon are actually a continuation of where we left off last Sunday. And before I read the next section of Ephesians 4, here's just a quick recap to lead us into today. We learned that the first half of the letter to the Ephesians is chapters 1 through 3 deals primarily with theological doctrine, especially the emphasis on our being adopted as children of God into the realm and kingdom of God. And then the second half of the letter, chapters 4 through 6, they move from the theological to the practical, the moral, and the ethical implications of being children of God as diverse parts of the body of Christ. So our scripture reading last week, beginning in chapter 4, we walked through it in this kind of Bible study fashion. And it starts with the author begging that we, quote, lead a life worthy of the calling of which you were called. This life, we learned, involves being humble, gentle, patience, and bearing with one another in love. And the purpose is to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. And this unity, in part, we also learn, comes through God blessing each of us with a diversity of gifts for ministry, including church leadership. And the purpose for that is, quote, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, and so that we can mature in our faith. And as children of God, therefore, we are called, united, and equipped. And that brings us to this morning's continuation in Ephesians 4, the first part of which you just heard a few moments ago, verses 17 through 24. And if you were looking in the Pew Bible, you may have noticed that that section was subtitled, The Old Life and the New. And we're told that we must no longer live as the Gentiles live. And Gentile in this context refers to those who do not live according to the ways and the teachings of Jesus. But you know, we can actually apply some of this to ourselves when it states, put away your former life, your old self, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and clothe yourself with the new self, created according to the likeness of God. Well, part of any effective and maturing spiritual journey of faith involves exploring and reflecting upon those things in our own lives that we believe need to be transformed, whether they be particular thoughts or beliefs or actions. And we come now to markers that exhibit that we have clothed ourselves with the new self that is created according to the likeness of God. And spiritual author Richard Rohr stated this in a way, in a blog just this week. He said, our life's goal is to illustrate both the image and the likeness of God by living in conscious, loving union with God. It is a moment-by-moment choice and surrender. So I'll now read Ephesians 4, 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. And I encourage you to follow along in your pew Bible. You'll note that this section is subtitled Rules for New Life. So then, putting away falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are all members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them work and labor honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, these 10 verses list virtues and ways of being that act as markers in living a transformed life and participating in a transformational community of faith. But let me reiterate these defining characteristics, which I did indeed go over during the time with the children. They almost read like a checklist or the 10 commandments of Christian living. Tell the truth. It's okay to get angry, but get over it quickly. Don't steal. Work hard. Speak only words that build others up, not language that is harmful or destructive. Don't be bitter, resentful, or hold grudges. Don't quarrel. Don't slander, insult, or be spiteful and malicious toward others. Be kind and tender-hearted. Be forgiving. Imitate God. And live in love as Christ loves you. Well, the particulars in this list are intended to help us lead a life of harmony and unity with each other. And while these can apply to absolutely all areas in our own personal lives, remember that they were written specifically to apply to church life, therefore to us as a congregation. And upon closer look, however, this list comes from a much deeper theological place than just a directive to follow the rules of decent behavior, you know, like the kind we used to expect of our leaders and of anyone who practices good citizenship. This is part of my brain that goes back to my Boy Scout years. And I think I can express this best by using something that I found on Facebook years ago. In admittedly oversimplified terms, the article contrasts the message often found in religion with the actual good news of the gospel. Okay, so we have religion and we have gospel. And it states that the approach of religion is often one of, if I obey, then I will be accepted by God. The approach of the gospel, however, flips this around. I am accepted by God. Therefore, I choose to obey. This is actually a wonderful representation of our own Reformed theological tradition. Because as Presbyterians, supposedly the motivation for our behavior isn't to be dictated by an understanding that if we follow all the rules, then we will find favor with God. Instead, our behavior is to be a response to understanding the reality that through grace, God already loves us. In other words, we are to be motivated not by fear, oftentimes the religion approach, but rather motivated by love, the gospel approach. And the list found in Ephesians 4, therefore, isn't so much a to-do list for Christians in order to live a new life as much as it is a compilation of virtues that we exhibit because we have put away the old life and found new life in Christ. As the Apostle Paul explains it in 2 Corinthians, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And biblical commentator G. Peter Taylor expresses it nicely this way. The works described by Paul are not merit badges for us to achieve. Rather, they are marks of the new life given to us in baptism. As parts of this body, we encourage one another and help one another to live out our baptismal promises. That is, we are all in this enterprise of being the church together. Therefore, we are to learn from each other and to help each other. And the author of this letter to the Ephesians summarizes all of this in a somewhat daunting admonition. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love. And Richard Ward, many of you know, is a preaching professor here in Tulsa at Phillips Theological Seminary, and he wrote a commentary on this passage, and he states, imitating God means putting our focus on the actions that flow from God's character. It's quite profound. Imitating God means putting our focus on the actions that flow from God's character. In fact, when we are able to live in love, love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self, we are indeed imitating God. And to close, let's review this particular checklist from Ephesians 4. We are to avoid behaviors that are destructive, such as lying, stealing, and speaking evil. Instead, we're to exhibit our faith through behaviors that enlighten and uplift others, including telling the truth, working in order to contribute, and speaking words that build others up. And this list goes on to warn us of those things that can cause discord and disunity: bitterness, wrath, unresolved anger, wrangling, slander, and all malice. Those are to be replaced with being kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving. And since each and every one of us is a beloved child of God, we are called to respond by imitating these same characteristics of God. Living a transformed life, believe me, is indeed a challenge. But it is also an opportunity that we can choose to face each new day. And we can help each other in this regard. And also remember that we are empowered to live this new life in and through the sacred presence of God, which dwells within each of us, within you and me. So reflect this week on how you and how we together as a congregation live out this transformed, authentic, life-affirming way of life, our new life in Christ. Amen.